Okay, it is 12 o'clock, and we will call to order the Tarrant County 911 Emergency Assistant District Board of Managers meeting for March 21st, 2022. Have any agenda announcements from the executive director?
Yes, sir.
All right, then we'll move into item three, the public review hearing. We are here to solicit public comments and hold a public review hearing on the continuation of Tarrant County 911 Emergency Assistance District, also known as Tarrant County 911, and the 911 emergency service fee. Do you have any comment from the public on this issue? Seeing none, I guess we will move to consider approval of an order on the continuation.
Close the public hearing first.
Thank you. I will close the public hearing. Thank you. I will close the public hearing. And then we'll assume that there's no discussion on this issue, or should we move forward regarding the issue? Carrie, you're going to help me carry through this.
So, if the board wishes to discuss the issue, you're certainly welcome to do so at this time, or you can consider to proceed to vote on the matter, however the board's prerogative.
Okay, any comments from the board on this issue?
I move for approval of the order for the continuation of the 911 district and the existing 911 emergency services fee.
Thank you, Mr. Brunson. Do I have a second from the mayor? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carries. We noted that Chief Davis is not present, and other members of Aubrey not present also, but we have a quorum and the vote carries. So we'll move to item four, the consent agenda.
Move approval of the consent agenda.
Second.
Second, Chief Steele. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carries. So let's move into the top of the day, Executive Director report regarding service interruption.
Before we go into service interruption, at our last meeting, we had Kelly Haney with Grapevine on our agenda, and because of the COVID pandemic, we were unable to recognize her. So Kelly, would you come up and let us recognize you today for your CPE certification?
Can you look over here as well? Thank you. How do you do it? Thank you, thank you.
A lot of hard work, girl. You deserve it.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right, our service interruption report in your packet on, I believe it's on page. Can you help me?
13.
On page 13 of your packet is the after action report of the March 8, 2022 911 service interruption. As you know, we all feel very strongly about this. We're all about redundancy, resiliency. We truly believe our motto of every second counts. And I'm going to let the professionals that were in the room when this happened speak on our behalf, because it was amazing to watch our crisis communication plan in action. They always say that telecommunicators are at their very best when it's hitting the fan. I have to say, I got an adrenaline rush that day. I'm like, oh, I don't know what that feels like. But it wasn't about me. It was about all the steps that they were taking to make sure that we didn't lose any lives. So Kevin and Monty, will y'all take the stage for me and tell them what happened that day?
Certainly. I'm here to report to you on the service event. We've got some additional information that we didn't have immediately, but we did do some root cause analysis, so we can kind of speak to that a little bit. We've been working on a network project, a migration from one form of technologies to a new one. It's a natural migration associated with networks. It's been going about 18 months, and this has been, we've been planning, ordering. A lot of things have been delayed due to COVID or various things. Service chain has been an issue. But this has been in process for a long time. For the past several weeks prior to this event, there's been a lot of planning, analysis, a lot of meeting with a lot of people here. We've got AT&T here actually representing the service provider and the people who are actually doing the work on things. Regarding the what we had happening, they were broken into two phases. The first phase was identified that it would not be service effective. There's changes in networks that occur all the time, and part of the job that we have is to try to make sure that they are not going to be service effective on things. The second phase was identified as probably being service effective, but it was going to be on-site, one PSAP at a time. It was known we'd be moving through that. However, on March 8th, around 3:30 p.m., one of the final steps triggered an unexpected network routing incident that, in the case where the routing of traffic around our IP network had difficulty reaching the destinations and the sides of the VESTA, the fault tolerance aspect of the VESTA, could not communicate with itself. It had two sides and both decided they wanted to kind of be in charge. This caused a lot of confusion for workstations logging out at the majority of the PSAPs throughout the district. Not everyone went down immediately, and it was a staggered, intermittent type of issue to begin with. This all started about 3:30 on the 8th. Pretty much once that happened, the people involved, because we had everybody involved watching either from this facility or from other facilities, this was done after lunch because everybody was in the right seats where they needed to be. We had all eyes watching things. We had vendors, we had service providers. So once this occurred, people started noticing, recognizing traffic doing an unusual routing path, and instantly started working towards determining what was happening. At the same time, we got a few calls from the agencies. We had our support team begin calling agencies that appeared System 2 was having an issue. We started working with our facility, or our system support team, reaching out to agencies, letting them know they needed to flip their make busy switch. About 5 minutes into that, we realized what the exact problem was. This is about 3:35-ish, and we started working with noticing that it was across the board that intermittent activity was going on. The make busies, we started working with agency. We stopped having the flipper make busies at 3:39. The actual repair, the fix, had been put in place, and we started having people bring their make busies back to a normal situation. We're seeing things stabilize out, and by 3:45, everything returned back to normal from the network standpoint, and VESTA was properly processing traffic again. By 5 p.m. that day, pretty much we confirmed that staff confirmed that all PSAP restorations and successful redundancy testing, everything had been returned. We let the agencies know. There were three agencies that had a little bit of extra complication due to some additional contingency, advanced contingency plans that were in place. One was in a manual reroute between AT&T that took a little bit of time to restore from. It's been able to put into a local survivability mode. I'm going to stop
so
there.
Yeah, let's be careful what we talk about today in the open meeting, because I think we're going to save some of this for executive.
Certainly can.
Some questions we have regarding security of the system and other things. So, any questions for Kevin in the public setting that we need to, I guess it's publicly, what jurisdictions were not impacted by this? Were there any not impacted by this?
The traffic that was happening around the network was in a state of confusion. I'll kind of say that kind of in general. That some agencies were more affected than others. Some workstations were affected differently. It wasn't necessarily one PSAP versus another. It had to do with this routing issue that occurred that caused individual connectivity to the individual workstations from its host to have some issues. So it's not so much that it was affected to one PSAP or the other, but almost by workstation and different components.
Okay.
And we can certainly, we've got, like I said, AT&T and as well as our team here, we can talk more specifically if we need to, dig into things from a security standpoint, it would be inappropriate to communicate in open session.
Okay, so we'll stop this conversation and we'll hold the rest of it for executive session briefing and discussion. All right, thank you. Let's go ahead and move to the next item.
All right. In your packet on page 11 and 12, is the current and a projected organizational chart. I remember in my interview, y'all had asked me, tell us you're not going to ask for any new positions. I am not asking for new positions at all. But with NextGen coming on, we need to have a network operations team. We need to have a network technology team. We need to have our teams identified, also GIS and support services. And these teams need to be fluent so that they can all work interconnectedly. And of course, that first person is going to be that network operations manager, who will be filtering down all these next generation demands, commands, resources, and responsibilities. And this covers training, this covers GIS in a big way, and of course our network. So in a perfect setting, I need my teams to be stable, fluent, and be able to interact with one another. And so I am not asking for any positions. I think we have a great staff and I just need to get them in their proper slots so that they can make these command decisions on what needs to, how we need to interact with one another as we proceed into this unknown next-gen 911 that we're headed towards. And I ask for consideration and support from the board.
Any questions for the director?
Yes, sir.
In the new organization, where does the efforts to build up our ability to assist our member groups with recruiting and qualifying?
Support services team. Got a good plan there, too.
Both of those are great answers.
Does this need a motion for approval or is this just
I just wanted y'all to be aware of what we're doing.
I don't think so, yeah. Okay. Thank you.
General consensus of endorsement, the organizational chart is much better than the previous one.
Thank you very much. And we've been working on it for a while now.
Okay. Does HR feel good about this?
Yes, I do. I think this is a great plan and I fully support Sherry and her efforts in terms of where we're going as far as the next gen.
Okay, thank you very much. Appreciate that.
The next consideration for approval is when our budget was planned last year, and they did a good job, we've been working the budget. But one of the positions, of course, is that network operations manager's position that left in April. And I'm sure that we probably thought, well, we're getting a new executor, we're getting a new HR person, and so that is the position for that person that I need. I don't have enough coverage for it. I can still keep us within our percentage of where we're supposed to be on total personnel expenses. It keeps us under that projection of 21%, but I do need to move some funds. So I'm asking for support, and one of those is from the PSAP furniture fund. That's not consoles, that's like when we're putting in new equipment and you need some monitors and all that, we do all that. We haven't spent any of that, $26,000, so I'm asking for 10-3 of that. Still making sure, because we still have 6 months left in this year in case we need anything. And then the TC appreciation event that we moved that money over and asked that I could incorporate that into personal expenses. Still, we're not asking for any more money other than what the budget already has, just moving some things around to get us centered.
Any questions from the board?
So these won't need to be adjusted in next year, the next budget? Is there any, or is that money going to have to be replaced?
Well, we'll have to make sure that we are at our percentage, and Anil, can you address that?
Yes, this will be a permanent change, and we will address this in the next fiscal year.
who've been heavily involved in answering my questions, believe me.
So I'm assuming we have consensus support for this move on the board. Okay. Yes, Karen?
So I was asked if this would require you to follow the same process for approval as it would for your budget, and I pulled up the statute and it would.
So she needs to produce a report for us that we would vote on?
Yeah, and okay. Then it would need to go to the commissioner's court, and the same process that you follow for your board adoption or budget adoption, you need to follow for this as well.
Okay, Neil.
As a major budget adjustment, is that true?
Thank you. Okay. Thank you.
So it's that much that doesn't require.
Unfortunately, yeah. The statute says any revision of the budget must be approved by the same entities in the same manner as the budget.
So, and this, we're talking about a few thousand dollars. That just seems that's interesting. So, is this an appropriate strategy? Can you wait till the next budget year, or do you want to move on this?
I would like to move on it now, just because she starts April 18th.
So let me clarify this. April 18th is that this employee will be 6 months within our 6 month of this remaining budget, right? 6 months left. So whatever money that was approved for that for a 12 month period, there should be sufficient funding to carry this for a 6 month period. And then we could propose that in next year's budget. Is that,
as I understood the request, is you're not asking for an overall, the same budget amount will be there, it's just different line items, but it is a revision to your budget. So if you're not seeking to revise your budget, then you can hold off on the revision and just do it as part of your adoption process, then that's great.
So to that, if there was that position, the individual is here, he has not been here for a while, so therefore that money has not been spent, right?
No, we have spent it, Stephanie.
Oh, okay.
So.
I'm just trying to figure out.
I know, we've been.
Let me ask you a question a different way. We go to Mayor's Council, Commissioner's Court, and our member representatives to get approval for a budget dollar amount. If we're not changing that bottom line dollar amount.
Okay, let me look at it and see if there's a way we can get around it. I'll talk to Wayne about it as well. See if there's a way we can get around it.
Us forcing into the commissioner's schedule for such a small amount, an adjustment to the budget seems
unproductive.
Yes, yeah.
Onerous.
Yeah.
And the reason why I think that provision is in there is so that if we make some change to the dollar amount in the budget, then we've got to go back and tell them.
So the overall dollar amount is going to remain consistent, but just simply reassigning from within the existing budget.
Anil, should I still get this signed then? Okay.
Okay, we'll look at it and make sure that we are able to advise you on how best to move forward.
Okay.
Thank you, Kara.
All right, then we'll move to the assistance programs.
Can we vote on that? Do we need to vote on it?
I don't think we can vote on it until we know.
Clarification.
Then we won't get that signed then. Yes, what?
The board needs to vote on it after.
Oh, okay, so we don't vote on it today. Okay.
Wait, so she will need to add this to next month, is that correct? Or is that something that we could do maybe?
Well, I think, let's do this. Okay. So Kara comes back and advises us that there's no significant necessary effort, but we could manage it within the context of the budget, and the board would so authorize we could do that. If not, we're gonna have to come back and have a discussion on whether or not we're going to move forward with that.
So if you wanted to vote on it today, contingent upon it not being required to go to the commissioner's court and follow that process,
yes.
You could do that, and then we could, if we determine that process is required, we could rethink. Okay.
So, Mr. Brunson, do you mind making a motion on this issue?
I make that motion, what she just said.
Second.
Second, Chief Davis, all those in favor?
Aye.
Okay, thank you.
Did you just respond to her text?
Mm-hmm. You're on top of things today.
Hi, good afternoon. This is just a follow-up to our last meeting. You guys have requested some numbers on previous assistance programs, what was spent versus what was left over, as well as kind of where we are currently. And so that's what this is going to accomplish today. This is looking back over to 2021, fiscal year 2021, as well as 2020. Our interop, we had $1,764.49 that was actually expended, and $271,737 that was left over at the end of the year. And then in 2021, for PSAP assistance, it was $931,540 that we expended, with $103,375 that was left over. 2020 interop, $3,808.36. $36 was expended, and $247,149 was left over. And in 2020 PSAP, $943,328, with $91,071 left over. And those are our previous years.
If, just to refresh your memory, I had asked that as of June 31st, that if there was any funds left in the assistance program, could those be moved over to the next gen 911 project? And I think Chief Davis will need some papers.
This slide here is talking about our current fiscal year. This is what has been approved versus what we have actually paid out. So as of to date, on interop, we have approved $3,323,744, and we have paid out $328,280. And as for PSAP, $520,251, and we paid out $61,701. And this was as of last week. And I do have copies of this that I'll leave with Sherry. You guys are welcome to take a copy for the board if you'd like. And this is basically that exact same slide, only I've added the remaining budget where we're sitting currently. So again, with about $1.3 million and the $328,000 we paid out, we have $383,581 in interop that has not been requested yet. It's still unrequested funds. And for PSAP assistance, we have about $405,000 that is unrequested. Everything so far has been approved, with the exception of two items. One that you guys will be in the next section, and then we have one that is waiting on committee approval. I believe there's questions about it was the Fort Worth chargeback question that you had, Mr. Brunson. And that is it. It's very short. Just wanted to let you guys know those numbers. And
again, I'll
to
the so have all the cities been notified of the deadline?
Yes, I did send a Survey Monkey that was requested for you guys. I believe it was on March 2nd. And so far I've had 16 out of 30 that have responded to that. Letting them know with the updated policy as well as the effective date of April 1st.
So I would say if we don't get a response by the end of the month, that we go back to them again, the ones who have not responded, and ensure they understand that the deadline is what it is, and that failure to meet that deadline will result in no access to the funds. Does that sound reasonable to everybody?
So my only question is, of that almost $800,000, if this board's direction is to put that against the next gen technology needs, does that not have to go back to the commissioners? Because that is a sizable budget adjustment
So I think Kara's gonna have to look into this. I think that answers a lot of questions.
Yeah,
right?
So that would be my only question.
Because I think you're right on target. We were talking earlier about tens of thousands, and now we're talking
millions.
So that this concept's a little foreign to me, because I know in my government we have the ability to move. I think most of the big cities have the ability to move. I guess if we could get a list of the ones who have acknowledged, that would be helpful too.
Okay.
Yeah, because I think what will eventually happen is that someone will not be aware, and they'll be asking us in July, and we'll be in a box. And so.
Well, so then to that point, is there any appetite to withhold a small amount in the event of an emergency of somebody's PSAP, you know, that comes back in July or August, and they've got a unanticipated expense that's a budget issue for them, and then if that doesn't get spent by the end of the fiscal year, then to dump that into the bucket of next gen technology.
So is this next gen money turning into one time money for the next year expenditures, or is it going to be targeted within this fiscal year?
I would ask David if he would help with that question. If the expenditure of funds, I don't.
Our reserves.
Or maybe Anil. David, am I putting you on the spot? I apologize.
So the question is, this money that you're seeking to transfer, would that be OPEX or CAPEX? Is that, that fair?
Sure.
I would anticipate that it, I'm not even going to go there. We simply don't know enough at this time to be able to make a determination whether it'll be OPEX or CAPEX. That would all depend upon a decision that Tarrant County would make at a later point upon which how they would deploy a next-gen system. It could either be OPEX or it could have CAPEX components, and we don't know the answer to that yet.
Okay, I think if it's just going to go into reserves.
Right, and this is different from the salary repurposing, because if we do not spend this money, this will go in our reserves, and we can repurpose that, and we can budget that for the next gen 911 in the next fiscal year.
Okay.
So we are not going to spend this money within this fiscal year, so we are not going to need that approval to Chief Davis' points.
So to Chief Davis' point, if we had to come back for some sort of emergency condition, we could?
We can certainly have some money for that purpose.
Grand Prairie Great Mine comes back, and they've got is there any wiggle room to help somebody if there's an emergency in there, is all I'm asking.
Okay.
So then I think it's the right thing to do.
I think there always is.
Sure.
If there's a need.
We'll be in a position to make a budget if we have to.
And I think another conversation that the board really needs to have, and I'm interested to hear your take on this too, from the county's perspective, is last month, by the way, I'm glad you're here, and I'm glad you're healthy and safe, and I'm sorry about your accident, but
thank you, sir.
Last month in your absence, we had a conversation where the financial audit was completed, and I think that the conversation was that we have a significantly higher rainy day fund than we potentially need to have. You know, it's recommended a minimum of 90 days, and we have upwards of
9 or 10 months.
I thought I said almost
10. A year.
Not quite. And so where the balance is between making decisions like this compared to spending some of that reserve fund in preparation for next generation technology, where that, what does this board think that we should operate with a reserve fund? Is 3 months satisfactory? Is 6 months satisfactory? Is 9 months? Where do we want to be? And then once we get there, should we use some of the reserves to prop up the conversation?
I think we're out of step with the rest of government, right? To from a cash flow perspective, what double or triple what our position needs to be?
That's correct, but we do build up those reserves for our next-gen upgrades, and we use that, and we are planning to use that for that purpose.
Okay, so it's this fund has
a
number of purposes to it, but we would carve out at least 90 days to be, from a cash flow perspective, I guess.
That's correct.
Okay. All right. So we could work that down to the 90-day level to assist with any next gen.
And the only reason I'm asking is I think we need to have the conversation here so we have a unified message as we go back to our respective organizations for budget conversation and next generation technology conversation, that we're all speaking the same thing. When it's these changes coming to the way we put grants out, expectations for next-gen technology, and so forth.
Chief Davis, speaking of next-gen technology, I was telling Mr. Brunson that we've been invited to come and see some actual connectivity between agencies that are working next-gen, and we would love to include you into those trips. So the board can understand firsthand what we're up against and where we need to go and make sure we stay on the right path.
That'd be helpful. Probably have several takers here and want to see that.
One's California.
Yeah, never mind.
The other one's down to Bexar County in Austin. So.
Okay, so we go ahead, Mr. Brunson.
If we could get the list of cities before April 1st, we could put that on the Mayor's Council agenda for April.
There you go.
To tell them.
Yeah, Mayor,
pay attention.
Could you help us with that? Because I think that's communication sometimes breaks down to the bureaucrats. Sometimes we have to go to the political leadership. So.
Got you. If you could put that in the format of a communication from the district to the Mayor's Council, then I'll get it to community development to get it on the agenda.
Okay. And you want a list of, I just want to make sure I understand, all of the agencies, not just the ones that have responded and not just the ones that
I think that works.
All of
the whole picture. Okay. Yeah. Yes and the no's or no answers. All right, are we ready to go to the next item?
The Emergency Communications, the CC Assistance Program.
Are you just not doing anything with this for now? With the deadline?
With the deadline.
Or we just...
I think we've all agreed on the deadline. Consensus of June 30th, is that right?
June 30th.
Well, the last day of June. Okay. So do we need to vote on it then?
No, I don't think you've got the direction of the council right with that. I mean, the board, sorry.
Okay, sure.
Okay.
Our next court item is the Fort Worth Fire Department's TIBCO spot fire.
Yes, Fort Worth Fire Department is asking for $33,714 for their licensing and maintenance for their TIBCO spot fire.
Any questions from the board? Have a motion. Motion from Chief Steele.
Second.
Second from Mr. Brunson. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Motion carries. Chief Davis
abstains.
Go ahead, abstain.
You abstain also. Chief Swearingen also abstains. So we still have enough to pass the motion. Motion passes.
Can I make a comment? I think this is a good deal, because of our interest in moving toward consolidated PSAPs, it starts creating those communication channels.
Yeah, I appreciate you saying that, and I think the way I foresee it, I don't know that my city and my city manager feels the same way, would be that I come here and I ask for grant money to start this and try it, show proof of concept that it's working, but then it should transfer to my budget. It should not be something I come back every year and say, You know, that's kind of the way I look at it. I don't know that they do. But that's the only way we begin getting off of budgeting our 911 communication centers through grants. So, thank you.
Thank you. All right, let's move to section 7, purchases over $25,000.
Director Oliver is going to present on exposure contract and ads.
Sure.
Can everybody give me one more?
Yep.
Good afternoon. I'm here on behalf of my COVID team for their approval of the overage of $26,748 to add exposure. As of this date, we spent $26,648, and I'm coming for approval after the fact because it just brought to my attention. Our budget, we still have $142,759 remaining in our budget. I've spoken to communications coordinator in regards to preventing this from happening in the future, and to prevent this from occurring in the future, this overage of $1,648 for that need to be approved, so we can bring this up to the board attention, is to, she will be going over the approval. In order to prevent herself from going over, she has designed a plan to put in a contract a no renewal after the vendor or company has reached that amount, that threshold amount, without going back and renewing the contract. So this would not be an issue going forward. So unfortunately, I'm sorry to have to bring this to you guys, but here we are.
Any questions?
On a positive note, we did win the Ad Exposure Transit Award for community awareness for those ads that was going out. So there's a positive in this.
So that did that cost us $26,000?
Hey, it actually was a benefit to the PSEP, because there were some people who we asked, well, not us, but not me, but that were asked, hey, how did you hear about us? And they said, mentioned about the bus and bench pads that went out. So it was a benefit.
All right, do I have a motion for the board?
Motion to approve.
Motion.
Motion by Mr. Brunson, second by the mayor. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carries.
Thank you, Chantel.
All right, with that, we're going to go ahead and move into executive session pursuant to Chapter 551, Section 418, 5183, Texas Government Code. The district reserves the right to convene an executive session from time to time as deemed necessary during this meeting for the following matters. Section 551-071, consultation with attorney, and Section 418-183F, Texas Disaster Act.
And Doc, I would like to request that our AT&T people stay in the room.
Yes, we're asking to please stay in the room.
Including our board members.
Yes, Robert, you need to be here, please. Just let me know when I'll...
Still have some.
All right, we're out of executive and we're moving into item 9, public comment. Any public comment? Seeing none, call the meeting adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you.
At 1333.